to introduce to you our first speaker tonight, and she is Dr. Kim Schonert-Reichel. She's an academic from the University of British Columbia, an associate professor in the Department of Education, Counseling, Psychology, and Special Education at UBC. Her interests include adolescent development and social and emotional development. She's in demand as a keynote speaker on social equity and social justice issues. She also works with the Vancouver School Board on a number of partnership research projects. For the teachers in the room, she has the added credibility of having been a teacher, middle school, French, and alternate programs, and we know what some of that alternate program teaching is like, some of us, so that gets a bit of respect from the teachers in the room, not that academics don't, Kim. She also is a parent of two children who attend Hastings Elementary, 6 and 9, I think she said, so she sounds like a very busy woman to me. And she's going to try and, well, she's going to give us the larger picture and how class size and composition fit into the broader social issues that we deal with young people in our society. So I'd like you to welcome Kim.
You and I are more the same
height. That's right.
Welcome, and thanks for being here on a Friday evening. I know for myself it's really hard to get away on a Friday. It's usually the sort of end of the week and lots of family time, but it's my pleasure to be here and to be able to speak to you about some things that I'm very passionate about. I've worked for a number of years at UBC doing research in this area, but I want to say that all of the work that I've done has always been has come from the kids that I've worked with. In fact, my focus on the role of pedagogical caring and looking at the social-emotional side of learning has really been from the kids that I worked with in that alternative school. In fact, I could tell you that every one of them, one of my research questions has come from. So I really have been drawn to this from my experience as a teacher. So I'm going to, just for the next little while, I'm going to just tell you some things, and really given from the research, of why it is important to think about class size and class composition, and really the importance of teachers. I just want all of you to go away from here just realizing what an important role that teachers play. But let me just give you, before I go on, I want to tell you that I talked to Pat Clark, and my PowerPoint, if anyone's interested, we'll put it on the BCTF website. So if anybody wants to get, just so as you're jotting down notes, you don't feel like you have to write copiously. So three guiding principles that we have to think about when we think about education. First, we have to think about development of the whole child. The aim of education is not just academic achievement. It's social, emotional, ethical, physical, aesthetic development. It's really that, when we think about class size and class composition and the mission of schools, we have to think about that. The other thing is we have to think of schools as a community, and really what I argue, schools are a caring community, and how important it is to feel a sense of belonging in school and how you're able to do that. And finally, within all the in the midst of all of this, how important relationships are, how important teacher-student relationships are, student-student relationships, teacher-teacher relationships, and how really they're the motor that drives the canoe, I guess it would be. And yes, my canoe has a motor. Yes. So, but I really love this quote, and it really goes to the idea that how important relationships are, and this will be the theme of my entire what I have to say, that human beings of all ages are happiest and able to deploy their talents to best advantage when they experience trusted others as standing behind them. How important these relationships are in thinking about students' development and education. And I just love this quote. It was by two researchers, I think. We view education not as a mass production effort, but as a personal and individual experience. And I think back to how when schools started and the whole sort of using the factory model of schools getting kids in, and they get larger and larger, and in fact, some of them kind of look like factories when you get to some of those, and how important it is to think about the mission of schooling is not just about mass production, but really about the individual experience. And also, what this quote really draws to is an importance that this notion of promoting competence in children, become competent adults in our society, that we all play a role in that. not just parents, but society as well, plays a role in fostering positive development and figuring out what are the factors that help promote positive development and what are the factors that could impede positive development. And we all play a role in determining those. And what I argue, though, is that rigorous scientific research provides an essential foundation for establishing policies and procedures. And really, that's where I come from. I've been doing, as I said, I was a teacher for a number of years, but really I went back because I was so interested in the research, really trying to find out how to answer certain questions about how to promote positive development in children. What are the factors that actually impede that development? And this is so important. So I had to have some entertainment tonight, I figured. You notice I have the gender balance as well? So what does the research say about class size and student achievement? And I have to say, class composition, as Ginny mentioned, is that it sort of runs parallel with the idea of class size, that you really have to think about the two in tandem. So I'm going to just give you an example of one study that's been cited quite a bit on class size. It was done in Tennessee. It was the Project STAR. They demonstrated that students in smaller classes substantially outperform students in larger classes on both standardized and curriculum-based tests and for all subjects. And the students were in grades K to 3. So basically, they did something called a randomized controlled trial where they randomly assigned kids to small classes of 13 to 17 kids. Other groups of kids, the same matched for all demographics, race, ethnicity, and such, to larger classrooms between 22 and 27, and then another group of classes that had large classes with a teacher's aide. And what they found throughout was the small classes, the 13 to 17 students in the primary grades, that these students outperformed, and it especially was striking for inner city and minority students. And what they found 4 years later, they followed these kids as they went into intermediate, into middle school, that these kids were still outperforming the other children that were not in those class sizes. The students from smaller classes continued to outperform in all subject areas. Now, this is just one example, but I'll tell you, years ago, there was very mixed results on the research on class size. Some people said it mattered, some people said it didn't matter, but really, most recently, in the last 5 years, I would say, with rigorous research using these randomized controlled trials, it's very clear that class size does make a difference in students, both short-term and long-term achievement. Some other research, just again a summary, students who start school in small classes are less likely to be retained a grade, to be suspended, to drop out of school. And they're more likely to take advanced courses, achieve higher grades, and take college entrance exams. So it's pretty clear class size matters. And of course, composition fits in there because it depends, like Ginny was saying, that in fact it might be you need a class size of 8 given the student diversity and the range of abilities. So the research evidence supports the effect of class size on student achievement. That's pretty clear. There's no debate about it. Nevertheless, the question that remains is, why should reduced class size lead to increased student achievement? We talk about class size, but we won't say why. What is it about class size that makes a difference? What is it that really makes a difference there? Well, we knew that reduced class size is hypothesized to lead to fewer discipline problems, to greater knowledge of students by teachers, greater teacher satisfaction and enthusiasm. So both direct and indirect evidence suggests that teachers in smaller classes are more knowledgeable about their students. And I don't know if any of you have taught in small classes and then in large classes. It really just feels different. You get to know kids at a very different level when you talk about their relational dimension. And that when you know someone personally, the kids are more motivated because they feel the teacher cares. So think about this, more knowledgeable about teachers. So most of the research and even the policy discussions about class size, unfortunately, there's been little attention to the relationships between class size and the experience of students in those classes. What is it about the class size? And going and even interviewing students, how does the class size feel different? What is it about this? And it's very interesting. They focus solely on achievement without looking at other dimensions. So I argue that learning requires caring, that this is a central role of students' development. And smaller classes equal more caring about each other, more student-student and teacher-student interactions. So smaller classes provide greater opportunity for teachers to get to know their students as individuals. They get to know their hobbies, their interests, what they like, when they learn best, if they're, you know, if they work best in the morning or if they work best in the afternoon. They get to know those things about their kids and how to bring in those experiences to help learning, to help facilitate learning, to know about how to motivate those kids. You also know that smaller classes provide more opportunities for teachers to foster positive teacher-student, but as well as student-student relationships. Because so far I've just talked about the teacher-student relationship, but it's so important about the student-student relationship, and I'll give you some evidence of how that makes sense. But first of all, I should just tell you that what really seems to make a difference in the research is caring school environments. And in fact, there was a sort of summary of the research over the last 10 years that said, declaration calls for more caring environments in school, and they recommended applying fair and consistent discipline, fostering trusting relationships among students, teachers, administrators, and families, ensuring that supportive adult watches over every student, creating small learning environments, and setting high academic expectations. So it's very clear that the way to really foster students' development is through a caring environment and the people, and you could all, and it's really the relational environment that really matters. So we know caring communities equal positive student-student interaction and positive teacher-student relationships, which leads to higher academic achievement. But what I also argue is that it also leads to students' more positive social and emotional skills. And I also would like to convince you that, in fact, if you talk about success in life, that what matters is not your IQ, but your EQ, your ability to get along with others. And in fact, Dan Goleman, has anyone heard of that emotional intelligence book? That he talks about that 20% of success is based on IQ. That means 80% is based on something else. And this importance of developing your social emotional skills for adjustment is critical for success, that you really need to have these emotional skills. Actually, there's a whole new emotional intelligence for the businesses. Because you know what employers are finding out? It isn't so important of how someone did in school. I mean, they had to get good marks and they had to graduate or go to university. But they're now giving emotional intelligence tests. Because they actually figure that they want to hire someone who knows how to get along with other people. Knows how to cope with their stress. They don't take as many sick days, right? So all those social emotional skills are so critical for future success. And I argue that, in fact, positive teacher-student relationships can foster that as well as academic achievement.